Hello and welcome back to our audio web blog entitled 2012 in the Church of Jesus. This is a weekly report that's put out by Voice of the Martyrs. It can be accessed at the VOM website, persecution.com. You can actually have VOM send it to your email every week. When it comes to my email, I print it out and I share it with you. And I pray for the nations and the people that are indicated on that report for the following week. Today we begin in China. Officials from China's Public Security Bureau asked a missionary couple to leave the country after they were caught attending a house church service on August 31. At the beginning of the meeting, several of these officers walked to the front and announced, "We know there are some foreigners in the church tonight, and it is illegal for any foreigner to do any religious activities in the Chinese church." They ordered everyone to leave the building and detained the missionary couple, who are ethnic Chinese but hold U.S. passports. They had served in China for 7 years, and officials ordered them to leave within 10 days. They did great mission work in China, teaching the Bible and training disciples, a VOM contact wrote. They don't know what to do next. Pray for this couple, as well as the church, that they are leaving behind. In Sri Lanka, a pastor and his wife were attacked recently in Deniyaya, Sri Lanka, while returning from a church member's home. A mob of about 40 men, along with 5 Buddhist monks and a local government authority, approached the pastor and his wife, shouting, "Attack them! Kill them!" The pastor was assaulted and accused of spreading Christianity in the area. He and his wife were then dragged to the home of the woman they had just visited, where the mob shouted at the woman and demanded to know how much she was paid to convert to Christianity. She replied that she had become a Christian based on conviction and was not paid to do so. The pastor was beaten again, but he and his wife managed to escape. He suffered injuries to his legs and body. Pray that the pastor's attackers will find Christ. Pray for the healing and restoration of the pastor and his wife. Now, when we come to a new country, and this is new as far as these reports have been, I like to go to this little book that you can get also from A Voice of the Martyrs called The Persecuted Church Global Report 2012. I'm sure there'll be a new one coming out pretty soon. But under Sri Lanka, we have these words. In May 2009, the government defeated the Liberation Tigers of Tamil Eklam, ending more than 20 years of violence. Sri Lanka's constitution gives preference to Buddhism, but grants freedom of religion. Less than 1% of the population is Protestant. Of the 76 people groups in Sri Lanka, 63 are unreached by the gospel. The persecution of Christians has escalated in Sri Lanka in recent years with the rise of militant Buddhist nationalist groups. Although the Constitution guarantees religious freedom, minority Protestants have experienced violent persecution, as well as discrimination in employment and education. An anti-conversion law is awaiting legislative approval. The law would make evangelism punishable by up to 7 years in prison. In February 2011, a pastor and his family were attacked in their home. The attacker was arrested, but later released with only a severe warning and the requirement that he apologize to the pastor. Well, the numbers, a Buddhist 70%, Hindu 12.8%, Muslim 8.5%, and Christian 8.4%. Well, the president was Mahinda Percy Rajapaksa, and there's a country that you can pray for. We move next to Jordan. A veteran schoolteacher was stabbed to death recently in Irbid, Jordan, in what police are calling a crime motivated by robbery. Police arrested a young Jordanian man in connection with the murder of 55-year-old Cheryl Harvey of Sudan, Texas, who had taught English in Jordan for 24 years. Although authorities claim the motive was robbery, nothing was taken from the apartment where she was murdered. Cheryl founded an English language center in Irbid 10 years ago, that served 300 to 400 college students each semester. She was known as someone dedicated to her work, to her students, and to living out the love of Jesus to her Jordanian friends. She is survived by two brothers. A statement from Southern Baptist officials said, "We pray her witness continues to bear much fruit. Pray for her family and her friends in Jordan as they grieve her loss. And thank God for Cheryl's life of service." What about Jordan? Also new this week. And so we go into the book that I just read from a minute ago. Jordan struggles with economic difficulties, unemployment, and a burgeoning population. During the Arab Spring, so-called, in 2011, several thousand Jordanians staged weekly demonstrations and marches in Amman and other cities throughout Jordan to protest government corruption, rising prices, rampant poverty, and high unemployment. In response, King Abdullah replaced his prime minister and formed a national dialogue commission with a reform mandate. Jordan renounced all claims to the West Bank in 1988. 14 of the 21 people groups are unreached by the gospel. In Jordan, there are 96.5% Muslim and 2.2% Christian. Islam is the official religion, but the state generally supports religious freedom. The Constitution allows citizens the freedom to practice religion unless they violate public order or morality or conflict with Islamic law. Traditionally, Christians have had few difficulties in Jordan, and even quiet evangelism has been allowed. However, more Christians in Jordan, both natives and refugees, are facing persecution from their families and the state. Finally, today in Bhutan, pray for 30 to 40 pastors and leaders who are studying in an underground Bible school in Bhutan. They're using VOM materials to gain solid, practical, biblical training for work among persecuted believers in that country. And then, again, a new country, so let's go to that one in this global report. Globalization and modernization are gradually opening Bhutan to the outside world, but it remains one of the smallest and least developed economies in the world. Bhutan made the shift to democratic rule in March 2008. Out of 35 different people groups, 32 are unreached by the gospel. 74.6% of Bhutanese are Buddhist. And then there's a group of indigenous religious that are 0.4%. Hindu has 22.4% and Christian 2.1%. King Jigmigusar Namge Wangchuk is the man in charge. The number of Christians in Bhutan is estimated at between 3,000 and 6,000 people, most of them secret believers. Christians face societal discrimination as well as anti-Christian policies. Christian leaders say they may practice their faith in private homes, but public worship and evangelism are limited by government policies against non-Buddhist houses of worship and meetings. Bhutan's National Security Act further restricts freedom of religion by prohibiting words either spoken or written or by other means whatsoever, and I'm quoting from their laws, that promote or attempt to promote on grounds of religion, race, language, caste, or community, or on any other ground whatever, feelings of enmity or hatred between different religious, racial, or language groups or castes and communities. Only Buddhist religious texts are allowed in the country. Well, thank you for joining with me today in concern and prayer for the persecuted church. We hope to return next week at about this time so that we can keep you in touch with what deeply touches God's heart. I'm Bob. Although I'm an area representative for VOM, this is not an official VOM presentation. If you live in the northern Illinois area and would like me to come and share with your group of any size about the persecuted church and VOM's ministry, I'd be glad to do that. You can email me at diakonos, D-I-A-K-O-N-O-S, 3@gmail.com. God bless you today. Be sure to check out the rest of this series and my other series on sermon audio. Bye-bye.